إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the best of all mankind and the best of his creation as messengers and as prophets. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan wa min al-nas. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, he prefers part of his creation over others when he chooses his from amongst mankind and from amongst angels. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses his messengers, he makes sure that those people are the best qualified to give the message. And it is because of this reason that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen above all other prophets. And he was chosen over all other men of his time. And it was because of this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the best qualities and the best attributes. And of those qualities and attributes that he was given sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that of eloquent speech, of succinct, concise, comprehensive speech. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni utitu jawami al-kalim. I have been given the most comprehensive speech. In other words, a very small statement or a very small phrase will be able to carry a great meaning and a great import, and many benefits can be derived from this. And so today we will examine one out of the many of the Prophet's ahadith and examine it in many lights. For verily, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he has been given the most comprehensive speech. So there are many benefits to be derived from every single hadith. So in today's short khutbah, we will talk about certain benefits, some of the many benefits that can be derived from one of the most comprehensive of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith. And this hadith is known as the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah. It is named after the companion who narrated it. And the companion's name was Irbad ibn Sariyah. And it was so famous that this companion, when he is mentioned, the first thing that comes to mind is this one hadith that he narrated, because it was so comprehensive and so beautiful. This hadith has been reported by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah in their Sunan, and also by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and it is an authentic or Hasan hadith. Irbad ibn Sariyah starts off this hadith and he said, وَعَظَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَوْعِظَةً. That verily the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a speech. And in this phrase, there are benefits to be derived. It shows us the eagerness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey to his ummah every good. It shows us the enthusiasm that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in spreading the da'wah of Islam, that he would give and stand, he would give speeches and he would exhort his companions whenever an occasion would arise. So the companion said, وَعَظَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a speech. And in this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled one of the Quranic ayat which says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. That verily a messenger has come to you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. He finds it very difficult. Or he finds it very difficult to bear your hardships, not his hardships. He finds it difficult to bear your hardships. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is eager for you. He is very eager and concerned for you. In other words, he wishes to guide you. In other words, he is eager to make sure that you are guided to the path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. To the believers, he is Ra'uf. He is the one who is full of compassion. He is Rahim. He is full of mercy. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eagerness in guiding people. And he says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. It is possible, O Muhammad, it is possible that you might kill yourself out of a sense or out of a sense of guiding them. Baqi' means that you were in your fear and in your enthusiasm and in your anger and frustration that they are not guided, it is possible that this will lead to your death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this enthusiasm of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is possible that in your over-enthusiasm, it might cause you harm in your enthusiasm to guide the people. So this shows us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who told everything to his ummah that was of benefit to them and warned them against anything that was evil to them. And this is proven in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he stated that there is not a single thing, ma min shay'in, there is not a single thing that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that I have commanded you to do it. And there is not a single thing that brings you closer to the fire of hell except that I have forbidden you from it. So this shows us the love that the Prophet had for us here. That there was not a single thing that would bring us closer to Allah except that he mentioned it and made it clear and explained it so that his ummah would be careful to follow it. And there was not a single thing that misled us, that misguided us, that brought us closer to the fire of hell except that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned his ummah against that. And this is why the companion Abu Dharr could say after the Prophet's death. This is why the companion could say after the Prophet's death that Wallahi, I swear by Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away and there was not a single bird that flies in the sky except that the Prophet had told us what we need to know concerning it. This is why the companions could claim that this religion had been left in its perfect state. That Abu Dharr could make such a, if you like, arrogant statement, and yet it was true. That when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, there was not a single bird that flew in the sky except that our Prophet had left us knowledge concerning that bird if we needed to know anything about it. In other words, what Abu Dharr and the companions were trying to say was that because of this eagerness of the Prophet ﷺ, because of his love and concern for the ummah, he gave us this message in its complete and original form. Nothing was left of it. Nothing was left that was supposed to be spread except that the Prophet ﷺ spread it. He did not hide anything. Rather, he made sure that his ummah, as he said in another hadith, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَىٰ, I have left you upon the middle path, the clear and shining path. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, its night is like its day. In other words, the path that the Prophet ﷺ has left us upon does not contain any pitfalls. He has shown us what the path is. And he has not only shown this to us, he has lit it up for us. عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَىٰ, the light, the shining path. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِيَا, its light is like its day. You will not be misguided from it whether it is night or day. It is because of this love of the Prophet ﷺ that our religion today is complete. So the Sahabi goes on and he says, وَعَذَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَوْعِظًا وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبُ وَزَرَفَتْ مِنْهَا الْعُيُونَ. He now describes the effects that this speech had. And he said, our hearts trembled when we listened to it. And our eyes were crying when we heard it. So he's describing the reaction that they felt when they heard the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this the companions were showing us the sign of the true believer, the criterion of the true believer that differentiates him from the munafiq or the weak believer or the hypocrite or the kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ, remind them, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, because reminding them benefits the believers. The remindance, it benefits the believers. So the companion showed us in their effect to the speech that the true believer, when he hears the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he hears the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is affected by it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, and those are the believers who, when they are reminded of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا صُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَ, they do not turn away from that deaf and blind. No, they listen to it. As Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ, those that pay strong attention, they pay eager attention to what is being said to them of Allah and His Messenger. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ, and then they follow the best of that. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the hypocrites in the exact opposite way, He said, فَمَا لَهُمْ, what is the problem with them? فَمَا لَهُمْ عَنِ التَّذْكِرَةِ مُعْرِضُونَ, what is the problem with them that they turn away when they are reminded? They turn away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the disbelievers as saying, لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, don't listen to this Qur'an, don't listen to speeches, don't listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you find a person who is eager to attend lectures, and eager to attend khutbahs, and eager to attend Islamic knowledge, then inshallah this is one of the signs of the true believer, as shown by the impact that this companions had when they heard this. And when you find a person, he turns away from listening to Allah and His Messenger, he doesn't like to attend lectures, he doesn't like to attend khutab and durus, he doesn't like to increase his knowledge, then this is unfortunately one of the signs of the hypocrite and the disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes both in the Quran. And he says, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةً. And whenever a surah is revealed, whenever a chapter is revealed, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. Some of them will say, who amongst you has increased his iman by this surah being revealed? So Allah responds, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. As to those who believe, فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Then they have increased their iman. As to those who believe, they have increased their iman when they listen to the surah, وَهُمْ يَسْتَبِشِرُونَ. And they are very eager to receive even more. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. And as for those who have a disease in their hearts, فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ. This only increases their disease upon their disease. It increases their filthiness upon their filthiness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that one of the differences or the criterion between the true believer and the hypocrite is that the true believer, he is affected and he pays attention when Allah and His Messenger are mentioned. And the false or the weak believer and the hypocrite, he does not care and he ignores when Allah and His Messenger are mentioned. So when the companions said that our hearts were soft and our eyes cried, this shows then that the status of the companions is one of the very highest stations. In fact, the very highest that a person can believe in his iman. Because they were affected so much when they heard Allah and His Messenger, when they heard the Quran and the Sunnah, that they could not help but cry and their hearts could not help but come soft. Irbad continues in his hadith and he said, فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When they heard this speech and when they were affected so much, they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةٌ مُوَدِّعٌ فَأُوصِنَا. It is as if you are about to leave us. It is as if you are about to give us a farewell speech. So then give us some advice. Give us your wasiyah. Give us your last will and testament. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. I give you my advice, or the advice or the testament that I give you is for the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean, this word taqwa? Taqwa comes from the root waqaya, which means to place a barrier or a prevention or a protection between you and any danger. This is the root meaning of the word taqwa. And in Islamic sciences, the word taqwa refers to placing a barrier between yourself and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fulfilling His obligations and staying away from His prohibitions. This is the comprehensive meaning of taqwa, that you place a barrier between yourself and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fulfilling the commandments of Allah and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet ﷺ is advising him to taqwa, it shows us that taqwa is one of the most comprehensive means of success. Because when a person has taqwa, he will always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has taqwa, he will never be ghafil or ignorant of Him. When a person has taqwa, he will always obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be very conscious and be very careful whenever there is a time where Allah's prohibition comes into effect. When Allah says, don't do this, his mind is always attentive, attuned, that I should be careful in not falling into this trap. Like Mujahid ibn Jabr, one of the famous tabi'een, he said, that the taqwa of Allah is that you obey Him so that He is never disobeyed. It is that you are conscious of Him so that He is never neglected. And it is that you thank Him so He is never disbelieved. The taqwa of Allah is the life of the heart. If a person does not have taqwa, it is as if his heart is dead. So the Prophet ﷺ continued in his advice and he said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَ. And to obey, and to listen and to obey, meaning to listen and to obey your leaders. Even if, the Prophet said, even if a black slave, وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِي. If a black slave became your amir, even if he became your amir, you should still listen and obey to him. So this shows the importance of obeying our rulers, of obeying our Islamic leaders and rulers that are in charge of the affairs of the Muslim countries. And it shows us that it is dangerous to speak against them. And it is dangerous to get too much and overly involved in these matters. Rather, we should obey and listen and leave their matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, that for you, meaning your benefit on the Day of Judgment, will be the dhulm or the evil that they do to you. And against them will be the evil that they do. In other words, any evil that they do, it will be for your own benefit on the Day of Judgment. And any evil that they do will be for their own harm. So in this comprehensive advice, the Prophet ﷺ told us that we have to obey and listen to the rulers. Obey and listen to them even if we don't like them. Even if they have certain characteristics that we don't like. And then the Prophet ﷺ went on. And he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ. Because whoever amongst you will be given a long life, whoever will live after this, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever amongst you lives long. And this does not only apply to the Prophet's time, but after the Prophet's death, for example, us living in our time, that we are living at a time that is way after the Prophet's time. So the Prophet ﷺ described this time. He said he will see a lot of difference of opinion, ikhtilaf. A lot of ikhtilaf, you will find it. So in this statement, the Prophet ﷺ is giving an indication, or one of the problems of this time, of the times after him, that there will always be differences amongst the Muslims. There will be differences in their aqidah, in their belief. There will be differences in their fiqh, in how they worship Allah. There will be differences in their manhaj, or how they call to Allah. Everything there is different. Everything there is difference. So the Prophet ﷺ warned us against this. Warned us against it, but how could he warn us against it without giving us a solution? And therefore he gave us the solution. He said, whoever amongst you will live, he will see a lot of ikhtilaf. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي So I command you, I put upon you, I make it obligatory upon you to follow my sunnah. This then is the success out of this fitna. This then is the way out of this ikhtilaf. That upon you, I put upon you, I obligate upon you to follow my sunnah. Now when the Prophet said, follow my sunnah, what does he mean? The word sunnah is a very comprehensive term. And it has many meanings depending on which context it is used in. But in this particular context, it means the whole way, the whole conduct, the whole manner of the Prophet ﷺ. As Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the famous tabi'in, one of the famous of the Salaf, he said that the Prophet ﷺ, he is the, if you like, the mizan, or the weight, or the scale. Everything from aqidah, from akhlaq, from mu'amalat, everything that we have, it is then put on this scale. It is then resorted to, this scale is taken back to, the scale of the Prophet ﷺ. Whatever is in accordance with it, we keep it. And whatever conflicts with this scale, we reject it. So this then is the status of the Prophet ﷺ. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا That verily you have in the Messenger of Allah, in his conduct you have a perfect example to follow. And like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ Whoever obeys the messenger, it is as if he has obeyed Allah. So disobedience to the messenger is equivalent to disobedience in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has himself made the status of the Prophet ﷺ one to be obeyed. So the Prophet ﷺ then gave us the way out of this fitna. He gave us the way out of this ikhtilaf that we're going to have. He said, I command you to follow my sunnah. And then he went on. And he said, وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي And the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, the rightly guided people that are going to come after me. And in this hadith, it refers to the companions. It refers to the companions, and in particular the major companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. Because the Prophet ﷺ calls them the Khulafa al-Mahdiyin al-Rashidin. The Khulafa means the Khalifa, the one who is in charge. The Rashid means that he is guided in and of himself. And the Mahdi means that he will guide us through. Phrase is only applicable upon the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and not those after them. So in this phrase, the Prophet ﷺ is adding on another crucial aspect of how we can get out of this fitna. He said, I command you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of those people who are going to come after me. The sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyina after me. In other words, the way or the tariqah or the path of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this too is an essential component of our belief or our aqidah. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in the Quran. And he says, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ That the companions, Allah is well pleased with them. And they are well pleased with him. This phrase has not been used for any other generation after the companions. So the companions had been raised to a certain status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Ibn Mas'ud, the famous companion, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts of all of mankind. And he found Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart to be the best and the most shining. So he chose that to be his prophet. And then he looked at the hearts below those hearts. And he picked the best of those hearts to be the prophet's companions. So the Prophet's companions have been chosen, hand-picked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because there was no generation. There was no generation that gave more sacrifices, that loved Allah, that loved His Messenger more than the companions. And anyone who reads the seerah or the biographies of any of the companions, he will realize this. And he will come across this with his own eyes. So then the Prophet ﷺ gave us yet another criterion, that you must follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, the companions after me. And then he said, تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا Hold on to it. Look at the emphasis he is giving. Had the Prophet ﷺ just stopped here, it would have been sufficient for us. But he is now giving us more and more emphasis to what he has just said. He said, تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا Hold on to it with your hands. And then he said, وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ And hold on to it with your molar teeth. And this is what someone does when he is drowning, when he has the last resort. He bites onto something with his molar teeth. And this is what we do when we are in a very emotional state. We bite with our molar teeth. This is an expression in the Arabic language, which means hold on to it for dear life. No matter what happens, no matter what situation you face, go back to these sources. The Quran, the Sunnah, and the understanding of the companions of this Ummah. And hold on to it with your hands, and hold on to it with your molar teeth. عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدْ. Stick to it, bite onto it. This is what the Prophet said. عَضَّ means to bite on. So the Prophet is commanding his Ummah that when they face any ikhtilaf, when they face any problem, when they face anything that is causing disharmony, that is causing disunity, then take it as one solution. Go back to my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the companions after me. Bite onto it and hold onto it. And then the Prophet ﷺ gave us the comprehensive advice that will stay us, that will keep us away from all evil. He said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ, and I caution you, or beware of مُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ, of newly invented matters, of matters which did not exist but were invented after me. Beware of them, إِيَّاكَ. It is an Arabic phrase that means caution, beware. And it is used to give a very serious danger that is going to come after it. So the Prophet ﷺ saying is beware of any newly invented matter. Because the Prophet said, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْتَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Every newly invented matter is going to qualify as a bid'ah or as a religious innovation. And every bid'ah is a dhalala. And every bid'ah, every religious innovation will lead to dhalala, will lead to misguidance. And every misguidance is in the fire of hell. In this phrase, or these phrases, the Prophet ﷺ summarized for us the root of every single evil that will ever occur from the Prophet's time to the Day of Judgment. For verily, think about it. The only reason that we are having so much ikhtilaf today is because someone had to invent something else after the companion's time. The only reason there is so much ikhtilaf in our aqidah and in our manhaj and in everything that we do, the only reason there is so much ikhtilaf is because someone had to invent something into the religion and put it in. So then when our time came and we find 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 things in front of us, we're confused. How did this come about? In the Prophet's time there was only one Islam. In the Prophet's time there was only one Islam. And yet we see in front of us different groups, different movements. We're all confused. What do we do? So the Prophet ﷺ gave us the advice how to save us from this. And he gave us the warnings. He gave us the signs that will lead us away from this. The advice is that عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Go back to my Sunnah and the Sunnah of the companions after me. And the warning is, beware of every newly invented matter. Now people, they get a bit confused. They say, so should we be aware of electricity, of cars, of tractors, of technology? No, brothers and sisters, no. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ is referring to. Realize that when the Prophet ﷺ is warning us against innovations, he is talking about innovations in the religion of Islam, not in this world. It doesn't matter what we wear, what we work, how we go to our work, our electricity and ACs. This is not religion. This is not religion, per se. A bid'ah, or a religious innovation, is defined to be every act that has been added into Islam that was not a part of it, and by which or through which a person seeks rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the important key factor, that through this act you will try to seek rewards. But this act did not exist in the Prophet's time. So the brothers should be careful, because they get confused between the modern technology and the modern world, and between religious innovations. Allah and His Messenger reveal this religion. Modern technology is our adventures. We can do with it as we please. But the religion of Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah, our aqidah, our fiqh, how we call people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we give da'wah, this is religion. This we must go back to Allah and His Messenger for. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in another hadith, he said that man amila amalan, whoever does an act that our thing is not upon, that we did not do, it will be rejected of him. And in one hadith he said that on the Day of Judgment, I will see my ummah and they will all come to me. And yet some angels will come and push away a segment. So I will say, oh Allah, these are my ummah. And he will recognize them by the signs of wudu. Because the Prophet said that those who do wudu, there will be light shining from their hands and their faces. So the Prophet will recognize them. So these are not kafirs. These are not kafirs. They prayed. They did wudu and they used to pray. But the angels will come and take them to the fire of hell. So the Prophet will say, Ya Allah, this is my ummah. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, by the way. He said, Ya Allah, this is my ummah. Don't take them to the fire of hell. So Allah will respond that you do not know what innovations they did to this religion. You do not know what they added to this religion. And in that, the Prophet ﷺ would say, suhqan, suhqan, woe, woe, the fire of hell may be upon those who changed my religion after me. So the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariya is a very comprehensive hadith. And it gives us many, many benefits. And of these benefits, is that the Prophet ﷺ described for us the situation that we are living in today. And he described for us the savings or how to get out of the situation, and he also described for us how to be cautious not to get into other situations of a similar nature. فَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, like we said, this hadith is a very comprehensive hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we can derive many benefits from it. Amongst them, the eagerness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to guide his ummah. Amongst them, the eagerness of the Sahaba to take this knowledge and pass it on. Because if the Sahaba had not done this, then we would not have the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah with us. Amongst them, the characteristics of the true believer is that he pays attention to Allah and His Messenger. And the characteristics of the impious and the fasiq and the hypocrite is that he rejects the Quran and Sunnah when it is recited to him. But what I would like to emphasize in the conclusion of this khutbah, what I would like to emphasize is the last few statements that the Prophet ﷺ made, in which he described this fitna for us, this tribulation that is going to come across us, so much ikhtilaf. And this is wallahi what we see with our own eyes today. Wherever we look, we find ikhtilaf. Even in the most smallest thing to the most major of things, we find always there is ikhtilaf. So what did the Prophet ﷺ tell us to do? He told us to take it back to the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the understanding of the companions of this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, if you disagree about anything, the Arabic word shay is used to denote the most smallest of things. So Allah is saying, if you disagree about even the most smallest thing, what should you do? وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, take it back to Allah and His Messenger. In other words, take it back to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Whenever we find an ikhtilaf, whenever we find a difference of opinion, what is the solution? We don't take what so-and-so says and what so-and-so says, we take what Allah and His Messenger says. Go back to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And another criteria that we have to add is we take it back according to the understanding of the early generations of this ummah, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and those that came after them. And this is proven not only in this hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ, that the sunnah of those that will come after me, the khulafa, but in one verse of the Qur'an, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, whoever disobeys and goes against the messenger after it has been made clear to him the truth, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he follows a path other than the path of the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing those that turn away from Islam, and he says that they follow other than the sunnah, and they follow a path other than the path of the believers. And when this verse was revealed, the only believers were the companions. No one else was alive at this time. So we have to realize then that the companions, they occupy a very important status in our aqidah, in our faith, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with every single one of them. And likewise, we too must be pleased with every single one of them. And that they have been given a certain status, that their statements are taken and their interpretations are taken. But obviously these come after the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is not the time or place to elaborate upon this. But my point is that the understanding of the companions is a crucial factor. When we go back to the Quran and the Sunnah, we do not go through the understanding of so-and-so or so-and-so. We go through the understanding of the companions. Another aspect I'd like to point out is that the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith and in many hadith, he emphasizes the completeness of this religion of Islam. That the religion of Islam is complete in and of itself. Because in this hadith, he warned us against innovations. He warned us against adding something to this religion. Whether this is a new concept, a new idea, a new philosophy, a new aqidah, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Anything that is added to this religion, we have to be aware of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. This is one of the last verses to be revealed. Revealed only 4 months before the Prophet's death. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have completed your religion for you, perfected it for you. And I ask you, something that is perfect, is it in need of being added to? Is it in need of being subtracted from? Something that is perfect in and of itself. If you added something to it, it would mean that it is not perfect. If you took something away from it, it would mean that it is not perfect. We have to realize that this religion of Islam is not the thought or the philosophy of a human being. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah is all perfect and all knowledgeable, this means that the religion of Islam is perfect in all times and all places. We have to be aware, we have to be cautious against those people that try to renovate and innovate Islam, thinking that Islam is going to change from time and place and culture. There is no such thing as an American Islam and a British Islam and a Pakistani Islam and an Arab Islam. No, there is only the Islam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to realize this and understand it. And this is something which many people in America, they have a certain problem with. And the reason for this is because the Western philosophy in general, it praises innovation. It praises change. It looks forward to it, and it wants things to change. But I ask you, or I remind you, and pay attention to what I'm about to say. Innovation, in and of itself, implies imperfection. I say innovation, in and of itself, implies imperfection. Because if their concept, or their program, or their whatever the West is thinking about, were perfect, they would not have to innovate it constantly and regularly. That is why the West, when they're talking from a human perspective, they look forward to innovation. Because they're talking about imperfect models as in and of they stand. That is why they have different programs, they have different philosophies, they have different technologies, different ways of advertising. Keeps on changing with time, keeps on changing with culture. This is because these things are based upon human thought and philosophy. Of course they're going to innovate. But when it comes to Allah and His Messenger, when it comes to the religion of Islam, we have to realize that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to realize that the religion of Islam is only one. That is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed through Jibreel to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to be cautious of this, and we have to understand that when we presume, when we think, when we believe that we have to add something to this religion, or change something, or something is backward in this religion, that this automatically implies that we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not capable of this religion. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ He is not capable of revealing this religion. And we seek Allah's refuge for this type of thought. This automatically implies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know the future. He did not know the situations that would arise for mankind, and that they would have to go back to these situations and scenarios. And we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is عَلَّامُ الْخُيُوبِ He is the knower of everything. There is not a single leaf that falls except that Allah is aware of it. There is not a single tree that sprouts forth from the ground except that Allah is aware of it. So I ask you brothers, like the Prophet ﷺ said, beware of newly invented matters. Beware of newly invented philosophies and ideologies. And go back, whenever it comes to your religion, go back to the Quran and Sunnah. When it comes to your deen, innovate and renovate as you like. When it comes to your dunya, innovate and renovate as you like. When it comes to your technology, when it comes to this, this is a separate science, this is a separate field. But when it comes to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to what Allah and His Messenger said and believed, when it comes to what we have to do as Muslims for our religion, then we have to take it back to the criterion, the Quran and the Sunnah, based upon the understanding of the companions of this ummah. I advise you then, my brothers, like the Prophet ﷺ advised the companions, أُوصِيكُم بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ I advise you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have this taqwa, and to obey, and to listen and to obey, even if people that are your rulers and you do not like them, even if they become your rulers. And I tell you that you will see a lot of ikhtilaf like you are seeing now. So the way to save yourself from this ikhtilaf, the way to get out of it, is to take it back to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sunnah of the companions that came after him. Bite onto it. Hold onto it with all of your might, and know that this is the only way you will be saved from this ikhtilaf, when you take it back to the sunnah. And beware, I tell you, beware of every single newly invented thing in this religion of Islam. Because every newly invented matter is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah leads to misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire of hell. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tada' lana fi hadha al-maqam al-azim dhanban illa ghafarta. Wala hamman illa farrajta. Wala daynan illa qadayta. Wala maridan illa shafayta. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'a. Wa amalan mutakabbala. ورزقا واسعا اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عملا يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كشمير اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كوسوفا اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان اللهم اخذل عدوهم اللهم زلزل الأقدام تحت عدوهم اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في كل مكان إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم عباد الله إن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه فقال عز من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر